Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, Episode 90, A Little More Didactic. We've got three segments for you this week, starting off with an E3 roundup, then a little discussion on Game & Wario, and finally a little bit of talk on the new Street Pass games that are available in Japan and Europe. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Connectivity as we wrap up E3 2013. At this point, it's been a week since the show started, and I'm pretty much completely back on East Coast time now. I'm Neil Ronahan. I went to the show. And with me to talk about E3, we've got two folks who stayed home. That's Mike Sklenz and Scott Thompson.
Hello.
You guys almost did the hello at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Good timing.
Psychic.
What we're going to do for this is just kind of go over what was at E3 as, I didn't get to talk about the E3 stuff as much on podcasts because we really only had one big group show. And actually, when I was on it later, then Johnny just asked me about PS4 games because he's like, oh, you'll be able to talk about it on Connectivity. So here we are. I guess, are there any specific games that you guys want to talk about?
Well, I guess by the time anyone would hear this, it would already be out, but just for my own personal knowledge, I'm curious about Super Luigi U, which will be out Thursday.
That was one of the first games I played, actually, because the way that Nintendo's booth was that they had that ridiculous Wii software showcase thing, and they had like a stage, but then they broke the stage away, and then they set up more game kiosks where the stage was. So I waited for like 15 minutes when the show floor opened to play new Super Luigi U, as they had trouble hooking it up and getting it powered on. But when I finally got to play it, to my surprise, it was basically the entire full game just playable there, except for I saw that they wiped save files after people played the demo.
So you'd have to start from scratch, essentially.
Yeah.
But I played like half of the first world, and I really dug it. It doesn't seem like the whole 100-second, like, because, you know, the stages are supposed to be quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're running into trouble trying to finish it in time. They're just shorter levels,
mm-hmm.
which kind of makes the whole, you know, 80-plus levels completely redone a little disingenuous, because it's kind of like they're doing 80 new levels, but they're, like, half the length.
Right.
80-plus like, levels shortened.
Yeah, bite-sized
which is
levels.
Still, it's still, for me, you know, dropping the $20 on it is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because it's still more side-scrolling Mario, and New Super Mario Bros. U was fantastic.
I might skip this one. I'm not sure. I got Super Mario U, and I liked it, and I beat it. I haven't done all the Star Road stuff, but I've beaten it, and I've cleared all the levels, and I've cleared all the secret levels excluding the Star World. And so I've done, like, I've seen all the levels. I haven't gotten all the shit yet. And I started doing that, but I don't know. I just kind of petered out on it, and I kind of think I won't really put that much into this game if I get it. I'm probably going to skip it, just because I kind of only got Mario U because I wanted something else to have.
Yeah.
And I got it for, you know, that I got it on Black Friday at Old Navy, so I got it for free.
See, my thing with it is that I totally want to play a Mario game and not have to rush through it, because I reviewed it. So I blazed through New Super Mario Bros. U when I played through it, and I kind of just want to take my time through New Super Luigi U.
Right.
Which means that I'll probably blaze through it this weekend, because Lauren's going out of town.
I'll be spending my summer on the 3DS, personally.
Yeah.
Did it seem more challenging to you than...
Definitely.
Okay. Because, like, I mean, I was watching...
I don't know if it's going to be quite like... It gets harder and harder as you go, but definitely at the outset, it was harder than the first world when you first played the game.
So I was watching some YouTube videos. I think there was like kind of a notorious one that was going around yesterday, the day before, with like sort of the Midway Castle.
Yeah.
I had
a lot of trouble on that one.
Yeah, it looked crazy with lots of just jets of fire everywhere.
Is that the YouTube video where the guy, like, the level starts and he immediately just jumps into the fire jet?
That was one of those things where I'm like, fuck, did I do that? And I'm like, no, you didn't do that, thank God.
Yeah, you weren't as bad as that guy. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It reminds me of Lost Levels somewhat, like a more fair Lost Levels. But that same sort of idea, like, let's take this thing now that you know and you understand, and then let's just fuck with it and make it kind of crazy. I mean, the fact that jumping at the outset of a level killed that guy. I mean, that's just very unlike Mario, but it's kind of cool.
Hardcore, yeah.
So. Well, I mean, the other big Mario game that was at E3 was Super Mario 3D World, which was clearly my favorite game of the show.
I'm hyped as shit on this game.
Yeah. It sucked because the day one, I mean, it was reasonably crowded, and Justin Berube wrote some pretty fantastic impressions on the game, so I didn't really touch it that much outside of playing the stupid, like, water Yoshi level where all four characters get on the back of this Yoshi-looking, like, water beast, and then you have to, like, basically fight for control and go down, you know, a linear path. And I also played the boss battle, which also was a little rough around the edges. So I didn't actually freely control a character until the second day of the show. But when I did, like, it was just instant smile on my face. All the little nooks and crannies that you could explore. All the little bonus things that you could find in that game. It's just, oh man, I love 3D Land so much.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day, and I think 3D Land could be my favorite Mario game.
Wow.
It's definitely
Fucking good.
I mean, we were just talking about, you know, New Super Luigi U, New Super Mario Brothers U, but definitely 3D Land beats the shit out of all those New Super Mario Brothers games. And
yeah, for sure.
With time away from the Galaxy games, I'm a lot less hot on them. I mean, not saying I dislike those games at all, but, like, I don't think that Galaxy 1 and 2 were God's gift to gaming like a lot of people seem to view them as. For me, that's 3D Land.
Yeah, 3D Land is, it sort of sits in this sweet spot between, like, a fully free-roaming 3D Mario game like 64 or Sunshine or Galaxy, and then a level-based structure like, you know, like New Super Mario Brothers U. It kind of sits, like, in this sweet spot where it's level-based, and it's sort of 2D in a way. It's fairly, like, the levels are fairly linear, but they're in full 3D individually. Yeah. It's, like, right in the middle there, and I kind of feel like that's, to me, that seems like the sweet spot for Mario.
I kind of agree.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm super excited for this game. I was honestly a little disappointed because I thought they were going to go show something a little more groundbreaking for a new 3D Mario game instead of essentially a sequel to 3D Land. But I really can't complain that we're getting a sequel to 3D Land because I absolutely loved 3D Land.
And yeah, I mean, that's kind of with every Nintendo game. I mean, with the exception of, like, the Wonderful 101, everything's a sequel to something else, but for the most part, all of them are pretty awesome games that they are the sequels to, and they look promising themselves. So, like, I'll complain a little about it a little bit, but at the end of the day, can I really complain about it that much if the games are still going to be awesome?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
But you're a big cat guy, so did you, like, just ejaculate everywhere with the announcement of Cat Mario?
I wouldn't say ejaculate as much, but I definitely did smile a lot, especially the annoying ass meow right as they announced the name.
Yeah,
and they had the logo.
Yeah, that logo with the
cat
tail.
Suit is interesting. It seems like they're trying
it's
to like
really
appeal.
Cool.
It's
you
the
have
mechanics
so many things
seems
you can
cool.
do with it.
It just feels like they were like, we need to make a game that Reddit's gonna like.
Yeah. The best is when they had during the Wii U software showcase, I don't know how well this was conveyed to people who weren't there, because I think they had, like, a video wrap-up, but...
Well, they had the developers come out in cat ears and paws.
Yeah, so they had that, and then I was with Billy Berghammer, and we high-fived.
They can't get away with doing something not... Like, they always have... They can't get away with avoiding something stupid. It always has to... They even got rid of the press conference, and they still managed to do something that was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Did they give out cat paws?
No, I wish.
That would have been the best swag.
That would have gotten me to ejaculate over the cat.
they need to do like a Zombie U kind of feature where you can take a picture of yourself and make a cat out of your, like, add cat ears and whiskers to your face.
Kind of like a side note, though, I actually got an email from Nintendo, like a SurveyMonkey thing for, like, how did you like this? Was it better than the Nokia Theater presentation? And I just basically wrote a comment that was just like, maybe the stream should work next time, ass.
Yeah, that was
yeah. The
good.
Stream was just it was fucked. But how did I gave up on it? I don't understand how it could be so fucked. They were using Ustream.
Yeah,
but
how did you guys watch it at E3, Neil? Like, were you guys literally just watching it on a computer?
Scott, you should listen to the podcast that got released of us watching it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently I mean, because most of it is just us being like, what the fuck is going on? How come we can't see it? And then Johnny and I are there looking at Twitter being like, oh, they announced a new Donkey Kong. It's great if we could actually fucking see it.
Yeah, I ended up watching it like an hour later just on YouTube, which I think was the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. So that trouble was universal no matter where you were. So that's pretty much good.
That's what at first we thought it was just us. And then when we checked Twitter, it was just everyone was mad. Because our internet did kind of suck in the hotel, which is why
on the plus side, they didn't have
live streams that we promised.
Yeah. On the plus side, they did not have problems streaming an actual live press conference, which would have been even worse. At least this thing was pre-recorded and they could dump it on YouTube as soon as it was finished.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
So, other stuff that was at E3, Mario Kart 8.
I really am interested to hear about Mario Kart 8 because I think it looks awesome.
Mike, did you play Mario Kart Wii?
Not really. I barely played it at all.
Okay.
I don't even own it.
I was going to make a pithy remark about you've basically played Mario Kart 8, but I guess you haven't.
All the video I've seen, it looks gorgeous. It honestly looks like the best Wii U game I've seen yet.
Yeah, I mean, it does look fantastic, but as far as how it controlled and everything, like, it's Mario Kart,
But you can drive on the walls.
You could have told me that I did that in Mario Kart Wii, and I probably wouldn't have doubted you. That's how little of a difference it made while playing that demo.
I'm excited for that game. I think I might actually get it, mainly because it's going to have online, right?
Yeah, and they're going to have video sharing?
Over Miiverse? It's going to, like, capture, like, highlights from the race and, like, upload them, which seems pretty cool. And then, I mean, I just think it looks really great, and it runs at 60 frames a second, which I think might be a first for a Mario Kart game.
But, I mean, it's the kind of thing where I'll totally get Mario Kart 8, like, the day it comes out, because I like Mario Kart games. I especially like console Mario Kart games. The 3DS one kind of proved to me that even though it's a solid game, I'd rather play it on the big screen with some friends on the couch. But if Mario Kart 8 has some awesome online community stuff, then I could probably get in deep to that game.
Is it true that there's no blue shell? I've heard that mentioned.
Just in the E3 demo. They said, that there is no blue shell in the demo, but it will be there in the final game.
Fuck. Yeah. I hate the blue shell.
Also, wheelies will be in the game. They were not in the E3 demo either.
Could do wheelies. Only on the bikes.
Yeah, on the bikes. Once again, you didn't play Mario Kart Wii, so you wouldn't know.
I played a little bit of it. Like, at a friend's house, but like I said, I never owned it. So, I played it. What I played, I really enjoyed. So, I just didn't really play much of it.
Looking at the list of Wii U games here, to hit a third-party one, because we talked about it a little bit on our prediction segment, but what did you, was the Wii U version of Watch Dogs playable at all, or were you able to look at specifically the Wii U version versus, like, the next console versions?
I would say read the preview on the website. I did not see Watch Dogs at all throughout the entire show outside of what was in press conferences. I believe that the Wii U version was not playable. I think for every Ubisoft game outside of Rayman Legends, nothing was playable.
Okay. I'm just curious.
We're getting to that point in E3 where it's just like, you can come look at the games, but don't touch them.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it was for all the Ubisoft stuff, but none of them were running on a Wii U.
So, well, let's talk about it, because before E3, like the weekend before, you texted me and said that Zombie U2 was very much a possibility of happening.
Yeah, so,
and you
so
got me all psyched up.
I was psyched up too, man. And then I was at that Ubisoft press conference. Imagine how red in the face I was. And I'm sitting next to Jared. I'm like, it's not going to get announced, is it? It's like they have time for one more, but they're going to try to Watch Dogs it. And they did. But yeah, so some rumor circulated. I got tipped off about Zombie U2 with a better name, I assume.
Zombie U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
being announced at E3 during Ubisoft's press conference, along with a remake of Red Steel 2, which that was kind of a red alarm.
God.
But it was, you know, it was the kind of thing that, like, I wasn't 100% sure, but the Zombie U2 thing, I think I might have made the comment to other people on staff that, like, I would have bet money that that would be announced. Good thing I didn't, because I would have lost the bet. But I think that we'll see a Zombie U sequel. It's just that we'll probably have to wait until next E3 to hear about it.
Yeah, which sucks. I was kind of hoping it would be something that would sneak out, like, this year, maybe early next year, but
yeah.
I guess better it get more time and get fully fleshed out. No pun intended.
Yeah, I mean,
all the
Ubisoft stuff, like, it's there, it's coming to Wii U, but it's kind of, because I actually did see Assassin's Creed running on a PS4, and it looks kind of like how Assassin's Creed was on the Wii U last year, where you can tell that it's like, all right, we're making this game for like 360 and PS3, and these new consoles are coming out, let's throw it on.
Up the textures, up the polygons, but it's the same game, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably see that for the first year of the new generation of consoles.
Yep.
Because they try and straddle the market.
I mean, that's what I loved seeing on NeoGAF. I guess, like, there's, like, potential launch day lists. Oh, these launch day lists look good. And I just counted the games for Xbox One and PS4, and I'm like, that's on PS3, that's on PS3, that's on Xbox 360. Like, these are all, like, it's like half of the games that are coming out on day one for Xbox One and PS4 are also going to be available on Xbox 360 and PS3. And most of them, even Wii U, like, at least a month ahead.
Yeah.
Like, when those systems will probably come out.
What else, I'm trying to, like, before we move to 3DS, because there's some good 3DS stuff that wasn't in the Nintendo Direct. But
the,
like,
Wonderful 101
looks, yeah,
sick as fuck.
Does it? I'm kind of excited. I'm cautiously optimistic about this game.
The bonker shit is, because we got to interview Hideki Kamiya.
Good interview. I read that today.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad to see that people seem to like our interview with him. I was, like, shitting my pants during it. because... And I was hemming back and forth, one to ask him about, you know, his personality on Twitter, and also
I was hoping to ask him
if Bayonetta is going to be in Smash Brothers.
I was hoping the interview would just read, like, his interactions on Twitter.
Yeah, just him being like, fuck you, Smash idiot. And he seems like a much nicer person when he doesn't have the pseudo-anonymity of the internet.
He seems like a really cool guy. I mean, he's always, you know, just from the games he's made, he seems just kind of like a crazy, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. And that seemed to come across in the interview, too. I don't think Bayonetta's going to show up in Smash Brothers. She just seems a little too out of place for it.
Yeah.
But then again, Solid
but
Snake
so
showed
did
up.
Snake.
So maybe she will. But she's obviously nowhere near as established as Snake. So
yeah.
I think the Wonderful 101 looks pretty interesting. I kind of wish I could try a demo of it before I buy it.
Yeah.
Just to see if I'm going to like it.
Part of the Best Buy 4, but... I mean, from what it is because I've played, I mean, it hasn't changed that much for the demo that was at last E3 that then Nintendo trumpeted around for about a year. I mean, it's still that those similar mechanics where, you know, you're moving this horde around and you change them into different shapes by either using the right stick to, like, draw shapes or using the touch screen on the gamepad to draw shapes. And you can do all sorts of stuff. Like, they only were showing off, I guess, the sword, the gun, the whip, and, like, the arm or the hand. But in the multiplayer, you could kind of fuck around and just make whatever you wanted. And Aaron and I found a bomb, a whip, or a bomb, like, electric claws, a hang glider, a hammer that you can just go around and smash people with. And it seems like all those things are going to be really crazy and kind of fun, because it's almost like how Kid Icarus Uprising had all those different weapons that you could try, where there would be kind of drawbacks and, you know, benefits to using different weapons. It seems like this on a smaller scale, that, like, you know, use the hammer, you might be a little more unwieldy, but you're going to get a lot more power done, whereas if you use the sword, you'll do a lot of melee attacks, but if you get hit by something ranged, you're fucked.
That sounds interesting. I probably won't ever play the multiplayer, so I hope the single player content is pretty solid.
Yeah, the multiplayer seems to be utter nonsense. It's five players with groups of characters on the same screen.
So it's like everyone's got, like, what, like 20 characters or something?
Yeah, something like that. And it's co-op. But I didn't know what the hell was going on. But the single player is really fun. I mean, they have puzzles that you have to use the different powers to solve them. There are bosses that you need to use the different powers to be more effective against them, like using the whip. Like, I attacked a boss and then, like, you know, pulled off parts of his shield. I mean, I'm just really excited to play more of that game, because it just seems like it's going to be insanity on the same level as something like Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Mainly Kamiya's involvement and just the art style that looks just like Beautiful Joe. It just kind of gets me excited, because I loved Beautiful Joe.
Right, the characters look like they could be.
I mean,
the main character
looks like Beautiful Joe.
And they have, like, Sylvia as well.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear about Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Ah, yes.
Did you play Donkey Kong Country
Returns? I haven't played it yet.
Jesus Christ, dude. Have you played anything?
I never played it on Wii, and it's my next to-buy game for 3DS. I just haven't gotten it
yet. Oh, yeah, I forgot that you played Rock Band for, like, 4 years straight.
Yeah, that was pretty much, like, the only game I played for, like, the last 2 years of the Wii's life cycle, and I played it on my Xbox.
That's so great for Mike, because now this is all, like, so new and exciting. He's like, Mario Kart, hey, new Donkey Kong Country. Like, this is all, like, original great
stuff. I was a lapsed Nintendo gamer for, like, the entire half of the entire second half of the Wii's lifespan, with the exception of Metroid Other M.
Yeah.
But Tropical Freeze looks great. It so far from what we were shown, I mean, the levels are still crazy inventive, just like Donkey Kong Country Returns, but you could have told me that, okay, here's a bonus level that we put into Donkey Kong Country Returns, and I would have been like, okay, cool. I like the little plane theme you've got going here.
Yeah, there were a lot of airplanes. I watched that 14-minute video of you playing it. You did pretty well, by the way.
Oh, did Jared cut around the segment where I just die on the same thing like 5 times in a row?
He must have, because I didn't see that.
Good. Because like I was doing it. It was near the end of like I think it was near the end of the second day, and Jared was like, "All right, let's get some video for this." I'm like, "All right," and I just got to this one point where I just kept on dying, and it was like one of those things where the barrel going from like left to right, and I had to wait a little bit, and I would just get into the barrel and hit A and die. Damn it.
Stop doing it.
Like 5 times in a row.
Well, that was nice. That the signs of a good video editor to save you some face there.
Yep.
So you didn't ejaculate everywhere during Cat Mario. What about Wind Waker HD? Did that do the trick for you?
If they had a more impressive demo, because they just showed off, you could walk around Outset Island, and you could fight the Helmarok King.
Oh, okay. So,
there wasn't that much to do, and I did. I stopped by one of those Best Buy events last Saturday because a reader from the site, the Dark Rye. He went to the Best Buy near me and tweeted at me, and I was like, "All right, I'll go." And I talked to him for a while, and apparently, just everyone gets really pissed off whenever anyone played the Wind Waker demo because it's the longest one and nothing really happens.
Right, I heard that anyone who would go play that one just like completely killed all movement of the line.
Yeah. And also because it's the only one that's entirely single player.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they can load up like 4 people on Mario 3D World.
Yeah, and then 2 people each for Mario Kart and Donkey Kong. But I mean, Wind Waker HD looks beautiful. I know that some people I think we talked about it on one of the RFN podcasts last week. Some people didn't think it looked that good, and they think that Wind Waker on GameCube with the right cables looked just as good as the HD version.
That's
for me,
crazy.
I just think it looks beautiful, and will it look that much more beautiful than Wind Waker on GameCube? Maybe. I mean,
it's hard to say because the art style of the original game, like, the art style was picked for that specific reason, so it would look good even at low fidelity.
Yep.
And so it already looks good at low fidelity. You're not, it's not like, you can't really up, the polygon counts because everything looks flat anyway. You can up the textures, but so many of them are flat colors to begin with.
Right.
So
it looks so like smooth and clean now. I mean, I really enjoy the look of it.
Yeah, it just looks like a perfected version, and I'm really bummed out that they don't seem to be adding those extra dungeons. You think if they were gonna, they would have announced it at E3.
They probably would have. We will have tingle bottles though. If you're just a very funny word to say.
It is. That's not a bad inclusion though, because
I think it's clever.
I rarely go through like Miiverse and just read the inane shit that people post anymore.
Yeah, but you can just find them.
I read my activity feed, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, if something like pops up for you and like it draws your attention to it, that's kind of fun.
I like that integration.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
And then sailing will be faster. But
I never had a problem. I think I might be the only person on the planet that never had a problem with the speed of Wind Waker sailing. I found it relaxing.
I had a problem with it when I played it for the first time when I was like 15, and then I grew up and got more patient, and now I love it.
And I became a grown ass man.
Come out 2000 to come out in 2003.
Yeah,
yeah. So I would have been in college. I mean, I would have just I hardly remember enjoying it entirely. I don't ever remember having problems with the sailing because you get the warp song fairly like in the first third of the game.
Yeah,
and I would just use the warp song if I didn't want to sail.
And I also found, like, as I replayed it, basically after 2003, that I was just, like, bombing around in the sailboat, being like, oh, look, there's an island over here to go explore. And, okay, the rewards wouldn't be that great, but it was still, like, you were charting Uncharted territory for the most part.
Yeah, right. I really enjoyed all of that. I don't know. I can't wait to play it again. I hope it's kind of budget priced at like $50, yeah. Which I kind of think it will be.
That's the one thing where I think it'll be an insult if this game's released at $60, and I think that's where there will be a problem.
I kind of hope they. I hope they sell it for $40, but I think they'll sell it for $50.
If they sell it for $40, then I don't think I have any complaints with, like, as far as with the additions that they made and the tweaks that they made. If they just released it at $40, I wouldn't have any complaints.
Well,
but if they make it $50 or $60, then, like, you're nearing, you're out of your fucking mind territory.
$50 is kind of the ceiling for it, I think.
I would still buy it, and unfortunately, a whole lot of people would still buy it because it's Zelda.
And yeah, and I mean, it's my favorite Zelda game, so.
Yeah. And if you're also following their reputation for remakes, Ocarina of Time 3D was a full 3DS retail release.
Yeah, but 3DS games are, I mean, first of all, I think it feels like they put a lot more work into Ocarina 3D, that game, because was kind of rebuilt from the ground up.
I don't think so as much, actually. Star Fox 64 3D was the one that was completely redone.
What I'm thinking is that, you know, GameCube and Wii U all use the same core architecture, yeah. So it really shouldn't be that much of a trouble to get it running on the Wii U. It's not like going from N64 to 3DS, the architecture of the system is totally different, so you have to do a lot more work to port it.
Very true. But, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I'm going to buy it regardless, but if they released it for $40, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, do you hear that, Nintendo? I wonder if anyone listens to us.
And then, spoiler for the next segment, but if Game & Wario could retail for about $15, I think that would be perfect as well. Because you guys are saying $40 for Wind Waker. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But then I think of Game & Wario being $40. And I'm like, if they're committed to charging $40 for that, there's no way they're going to charge $40 for Wind Waker, unfortunately.
Well, Scott, if Game & Wario is still $40 by the time Wind Waker comes out, then something went wrong.
we have two games that we haven't talked about yet for Wii U. If we want to talk about Wii Party U.
And it actually looks pretty sweet.
I just don't understand why it's not a fucking Mario Party game.
Nope. I don't know why, but every time I ended up like going over there, and they had it was some dude who works at Nintendo, I forget his name, but he was very charismatic leading the demo, and I would go over there, just walking by there, and get roped into playing another mini game or two. Everything that I played was kind of fun. I don't know if it's a game that I would go run out and buy, but it seems like it would be a fun party game, which is in the title.
So, yeah, if I had a group of friends that would come over regularly, I might get it, but. Because all the impressions I read on the site was, who wrote them?
I think Guillaume did.
Yeah, he seemed to really like it. He said, like, these are some of the best party mini games I've ever played.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Nintendo Land in that it shows off how to use the gamepad. Playing that made me hate Game & Wario even more. Because I was like, this is doing interesting things. Game & Wario, like, I don't want to fucking play bowling on the touchscreen when I have a Wii remote right here.
Yeah.
And then I guess the only other game... Well, we haven't talked about Pikmin 3 yet, but I feel like that game has gotten tons of coverage.
You know what? Pikmin 3 looks fucking dope.
It looks good. I mean, I didn't play Pikmin 2, so I might actually pick up Pikmin 3.
It was talking to Johnny about Pikmin 3. He wrote the impressions that are up on the site. I wasn't really planning on playing that demo at all during E3, because I was just like, yeah, it's coming out so soon. I'm not really that hyped for it. And I wound up playing it both single player and in co-op, and I'm so stoked for that game now. I went from being kind of like, I probably still get it, it's a Nintendo game, there's not much else coming out on Wii U, to like, when is it going to be August 4th?
The only other Wii U game we haven't talked about yet is Bayonetta 2, which almost doesn't feel like, it just feels so weird that Nintendo's publishing this game still.
Yeah, it's a Bayonetta game. I really dug the first one, and this was another case, as is kind of the trend with a lot of these Nintendo games, where you could have told me that this was a later level from Bayonetta, and I would have been like, oh, okay, cool. It looks really fun. They're adding a new special attack. She has short hair.
She has short hair.
It controlled very well. The combat was fun, just like the first Bayonetta.
Yeah.
So you just run around and beat up angels.
Yeah.
I only played the demo for Bayonetta. I think like that's all I really needed to play for it. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of these crazy Japanese action games.
I really like the first Bayonetta, and I'll totally get Bayonetta 2, but I can't get too excited for a game that just seems so similar to a game I already played.
Yeah, I hope it's
which
good.
Which I guess is probably how people feel, like, when I'm like, New Super Mario Brothers U, can't wait. People are like, I just played New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and yeah. I feel like playing that again.
Yeah, this I just really hope that Bayonetta 2 and Wonderful 101 do really well, because I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is just me hoping and dreaming, but I feel like this is some sort of trial run for Platinum Games to see if worthy of Nintendo acquiring them outright.
No, that'd be so great.
It just—I mean, they're not making anything for any other platforms right now, are they?
Yeah, because Revengeance was the last thing.
Yeah,
they're working on.
They're only making Nintendo games right now, and it seems like if this does well, maybe they will only ever make Nintendo games. And I think Platinum would be a really good, you know, acquisition for Nintendo, because they do shit that none of Nintendo other first parties really do.
Yeah, and like, has Platinum's made weird games? But have they ever really made, like, a terrible game? And going back with, like, a lot of those people in that lineage, going back to Clover.
Yeah, it seems they haven't made any really terrible games.
Mad World is a game that got old rather quickly. I still stand by my glowing 9 out of 10 review that I gave that game. And I could see some people saying that is a bad game. But I don't think it's a bad game. I just think it's a game that the premise ran thin.
There's only one problem with Mad World, and that it didn't run in progressive scan.
Yeah.
That was the only problem with it. Would have looked beautiful in progressive scan with those black and white visuals. But I hope Nintendo gets them, especially now that Kamiya clearly wants to do a fucking Star Fox game.
Yeah.
And they would do the goddamn best Star Fox game outside Treasure.
Just think of, like, the cutscenes that he's done in, like, Bayonetta and Beautiful Joe. And just imagine that with Star Fox.
Just keep Fox in the R-Wing and let him do fucking crazy shit. And please, I would love it. I think it would be insane.
What I think is great about Platinum possibly doing a Star Fox game is I think they're the one company that could do an excellent job of just, like, making the action balls out crazy, but then also making the whatever storyline there is with all the stupid characters that are in the Star Fox universe now, like, just equally crazy and, like, actually, like, doing a good job of
fun
just paying, like,
watch.
Of just honoring the shit.
It seems like a good
characters.
Fit in every regard.
Yeah.
I hope they do it. I really hope they do it.
Yeah, I would love it.
It would be so. I don't want to see Star Fox die. I want to see Star Fox live.
Yeah, I mean, Star Fox 64 is so good, and there's not a good Star Fox game since Star Fox 64. So I really hope they do it. I just want them. I want them to do it so bad. I want them to upend the tea table on Star Fox. Like,
yeah.
Just do it.
So I'm gonna do some Wii U quick hits for other stuff that I played at E3. Sonic Lost World,
you mean Sonic Galaxy?
Everyone on staff, the 3DS version of Sonic Lost World, which is also a 3D Sonic game, is way better.
Really?
I never checked out the 3DS version, but I believe it, because the Wii U version was just kind of meh. Deus Ex Director's Cut is coming to everything. How funny is that?
Yeah, now we know why there's been no comment about when it's actually coming out. There it is.
As the resident action figure connoisseur of video games, Disney Infinity kind of looks weaker from what I've seen. And I think your mileage will go as far as you like Disney.
Or as many toys as... It seems... I like the idea that when you buy a new set, you're, like, fully expanding the game, like, in many ways.
Yeah. No, that is really cool.
You're getting,
like,
essentially,
like,
a whole new game every time you buy a new set.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where that could work, but... I don't know. It was a lot less impressive seeing it then, especially kind of seeing it in close quarters.
That's sad, because they put those extra months into it. You know?
Yeah. Although I think that was mostly for figure production.
But I mean, they still can use that time to spend polishing the game.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
Skylanders Swap Force looks fantastic.
I think we're just seeing where your biases lie, Neil.
No, my biases lie with games that are meant to be games and not games that are meant to be toy boxes. Because Skylanders Swap Force is just a really good game, whereas Disney Infinity, even with the playsets, you're just getting, like, here's a kind of shitty action platformer starring Jack Sparrow. Whereas Skylanders Swap Force is like, here's a fucking awesome gauntlet-style, like, brawler with puzzles and shit with a bunch of characters you've never heard of but are really crazy. And you can upgrade them. And they have cool powers.
Mike, every when you edit this, every time Neil says something positive about Skylanders, I want you to add in, like, a cash register sound. do that for me.
My golden hot dog has nothing on what you're saying. My Lone Ranger playset also has nothing. What
Let's see. What other games do I want you to tell me about, Neil? I want you to tell me about DuckTales Remastered.
That looks great. Can't wait.
Does it play well? Because, I mean, there have been a couple of these old games that have been redone, and, like, something just got lost in translation. Like, Turtles in Time got redone, and there's just something fucking wrong about the new version. It just feels off.
That is not the case with this game. Okay. It plays fantastically. And we had our E3 awards, which were just 7 games that we really liked. DuckTales was basically, like, number 8 or number 9.
Okay. Good to hear.
And it looks like they're expanding on it a little bit more, and I was actually, we talked to Matt Bozon at WayForward, and he isn't really, he basically helped like lay out this, like the spec for DuckTales Remastered, and then it's been other people working on it. But he said that like from their original spec, they've even added more to it. And some of the stuff is that like the bosses are way more improved and way more interesting, which, you know, like I think the comparison that they used for, I think it was specifically the boss in the Amazon, is that they basically wanted to have a Kraid and Metroid to Kraid and Super Metroid moment with it.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Hearing that kind of stuff, and also just, you know, people who love Super Metroid always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But doing that to the game is way cooler than what, like, Disney's, or I guess Sega's doing with Castle of Illusion, which is just like, here's the same damn game.
Right. I'm surprised they're redoing Castle of Illusion, because they kind of like just made a spiritual successor to it, even though it didn't turn out very great.
Yeah.
Like, they made one, but here they are going back to the same well again.
I don't know why they can't just release the Genesis one on like Virtual Console or something, because I'd rather see that.
Yeah, we were talking about that back at Disneyland back in October, and now I'm now thinking back on it, and I'm realizing, thinking back on that conversation I had with Warren Spector, he basically confirmed that they were making, well, not that he was making, but that this DuckTales game was in production.
Yeah.
In oh so many words.
Yep.
And oh so many no comments.
Some other cool stuff on Wii U. That's about it. Bird Kingdom also looks fantastic. That's a balls to the wall platformer.
It's one of those, like, Scram crazy Kitty platformers, yeah.
Scram Kitty, I forget the full name of that, but that was another Wii U eShop game that was on display in Nintendo's booth, and that's made by a small team that they made some, I think, PSP mini titles, but also, I think some of the guys there worked on Star Fox Command. But the game that they're making is kind of weird game where you were controlling this, like, thing on wheels as you go and bounce between walls and try to, like, get keys to save your cat. It's really weird, but it was very fun, and it just controlled very uniquely. And I kind of dug that game. So now to 3DS, as I'll refer to, the Link Between Worlds show, because that game looks fucking awesome.
I'm excited.
Can we start with Yoshi's New Island then?
Can we get it out of the way?
Yeah,
Yoshi's New Island looks really bad.
Now, just looks bad? Like, did you get a chance to actually play it?
Yeah, okay. I think it was like 2 or 3 levels linked together, and then a final boss. It's not like the art style is bad, but there's really weird stuff that just rubbed me the wrong way. One, that the big new addition of the giant egg, like the giant egg is basically just a mini game where you throw the egg somewhere, and depending on how many coins you get like extra lives.
Yeah.
It seems to be one thing that's interesting about this Yoshi's New Island game is that Nintendo has said that we didn't want to show Yarn Yoshi because we don't think it was in a good enough state to show, but they showed this, which from everything I've read is awful. So what state is Yarn Yoshi in right now if they couldn't show it, but they showed this Yoshi game?
I don't think Yoshi's
New Island is going to get any better. Yarn Yoshi probably would be getting better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess, you know. Still, I mean, got, yeah, some, you're right. In the oven.
If they're showing the game and letting you play it, then it seems like they've kind of settled in on what it looks like. And it, admittedly, it does look bad. I was hoping it was the kind of thing where it was like, when you see it on the 3DS, it actually looks pretty good. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
That is a thing that happens with 3DS games for sure, too.
Yeah.
They just need something need to be on that screen to look right.
I mean, one of the things that Yoshi's New Island really did that rubbed me the wrong way is that there's, like, this subtle, like, delay, like, just of a few seconds whenever Yoshi rears back to throw an egg, and it bothers me so much. Like, it's something so small, but for someone who, you know, kind of digs Yoshi's Island, playing that, it just felt wrong.
Well, that's something they could still adjust, but,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's only a few levels, but where do you rate it even, like, compared to something like Yoshi's Island 2, or Yoshi's Island DS, I guess I should, is what it was called. But
I would say, as far as what I played, it seems to be like it's going to be on the same level as Yoshi's Island DS.
Which was
It is
sort
made
of
by
meh.
More or less the same people.
Okay.
And that game I didn't play it. I heard it was kind of meh.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Yoshi's New Island was also the first game that I've ever seen, like, basically get delayed while at E3. Because during the Nintendo Direct, I'm pretty sure they said it was coming, like, holiday 2013. And then, like, they released, like, during the investors thing, they had, like, here are when games are coming out. And then Yoshi's New Island was listed for 2014.
Nice. So they must have seen the, gauge the temperature
the E3
of
demo
the water
and, like,
and been
shit.
Like,
Maybe we should push that one back.
But, well, anyway, let's jump to the good thing. So, yeah, Link to the Past.
Link Between Worlds.
The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Right,
which
sure.
It took me probably the entirety of E3 to get that name right.
Real quick, before we really get into this game, if someone from Nintendo is listening, y'all better get Link to the Past up on Wii U Virtual Console, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Because people are going to want to play it before they play Link Between Worlds. I have never really played Link to the Past beyond, like, the first one or two dungeons.
What
I just,
the fuck Nintendo games have you played?
Yeah, seriously.
Here's the thing. When I was a kid, I was kind of dumb, and I didn't really realize that Zelda games are not RPGs, but they were being marketed as RPGs, and I did not like RPGs as a kid, so I just fucking wrote them off. And then
That's
I later...
amazing.
It's dumb, I know. Because then So Ocarina is really the first one I ever really played, and I played that in middle school. 96. Yeah, middle school. So that one I love, and I love all the 3D Zelda games as a result, but and I've only more recently got into the 2D Zelda games, and some of them, they're kind of hit and miss for me. Like, some of them I think are fantastic. Like, I really liked Minish Cap, and I really liked Link's Awakening, but I, for some reason, can never fully get into Link to the Past, and I want to give it one more shot, because I'm really interested in Link Between Worlds.
This is so good.
I want to play it on the gamepad.
So holiday season 2013 to holiday season of 2014 is going to be like all brand new fucking ideas to Mike's cleanse. It's going
yeah,
to be like
basically
earth shattering new shit.
I'm kind of excited. I'm mostly excited because I mean there's an extremely good chance that we're going to get some kind of sweet Link Between Worlds bonus like special edition 3DS XL.
Oh yeah, that's
that is
going
to finally force me to upgrade to a 3DS XL.
But as far as what made Link Between Worlds so good is that. I mean, it's just fucking awesome 2D Zelda. We haven't gotten a new one of those in a long time. The art style looks fantastic in 3D. Seeing it in motion is... I mean, you can see that in that 3D trailer that they put up when they first announced it, and that's a pretty good representation of what it looks like, and it looks fucking awesome.
The transitions from, like, 2D to 3D when you, like, go against the walls looks really neat, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited by the possibilities of, you know, going over the overworld, which I know people seem to be pissed off about, that you can't, you know, the overworld looks to be the same as, like, the past.
It's a bait and switch. I mean, it's literally a game about two worlds. Do you think both of them are going to be identical? Something's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even Link to the Past had two overworlds. I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, so.
I mean, my thing is that, like, yes, it looks familiar to Link to the Past's overworld. To me, what that tells me, if, you know, the guys making this game are competent developers, which I think, regardless of what you think about Skyward Sword or Spirit Tracks or anything, these dudes are fucking competent developers. You'll probably see a lot of familiar things about the Link to the Past overworld in Link Between Worlds, and then they will twist it on its ear, and you'll be able to, like, do shit like go up against the wall and move around, and then come out, and you'll have a different way to traverse around the area. There will be new secrets. There will be... You know, maybe in a place where there was, like, a piece of heart before, it'll be different and lead you to somewhere else. Like,
yeah, I think they'll probably do some slight twists on all of it.
I mean, if they do that, and to me, I don't really think it's that bad that it's familiar. It's just, like, I mean, you look at Super Metroid. Like, the opening area to that is scarily familiar to the original Metroid, but then you see it in this new art style, this improved style. And, okay, does Link to the Past really need that much improvement? The art in that's pretty great, but regardless, Link Between Worlds is a different art style, and you'll get to see this game world that is fantastic and awesome to explore, probably more so than just about any Zelda world ever. And then you'll get to explore it through a new lens with new powers. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. I finally got into 2D Zelda games like in the past couple of years, so I'm really excited.
Like, I'm really excited for 3D World, but there's something about Link Between Worlds that, like, okay, it might be like a 2D Zelda game or like Link to the Past, but what are they going to do that's going to make that? I mean, it's a sequel to Link to the Past. There's a certain reverence to that as opposed to 3D World being, you know, like a sequel to 3D Land, which came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, I can only hope that one day Metroid gets the treatment that Zelda seems to be getting on the 3DS, where they're really, like, they're taking from the past and they're building and expanding on it with a lot of reverence for it. Can we please do that with a Metroid game too?
Super Metroid, a Samus between worlds.
Metroid, please, Metroid, can just Metroid Dread, 2D Metroid game on 3DS, just that's all I want. Please do it.
Yeah. Get the Armature guys to work on it, because Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate looks pretty solid so far.
That is a game I really am, I'm not interested in Arkham Origins at all. It feels kind of like a rehash, and I think Asylum was better than City, so I'm much more interested in Blackgate than I am the console game.
I didn't see anything with Arkham Origins, because Warner Brothers' booth was basically just a fortress that you couldn't really do anything in. And I think Arkham Origins was only playable on PS3 if you had an appointment, which I was not on the Warner Brothers appointment. TYP got to play it, though. He wrote a preview. Check it out on the site. And the 3DS version of Blackgate was also only available if you had an appointment. And Johnny got to play that, read the impressions up on the site.
Yeah, his impressions were really solid, and he fucking loves Metroidvania games. Yeah. So,
But I played the demo at the Vita booth, and those games are ostensibly the same, except for there's a mask on the touchscreen, and the visuals are a little bit better on Vita. But what I played was the intro area, which basically just proved to me that as long as they can do a competent Metroidvania game, and these dudes made Metroid Prime, so I think they might be able to, they basically translated everything about the Arkham games in the 2D, and I think it works very, very well.
It still focuses on hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah, but the way it kind of does it to make it work is, like, you only ever move on a 2D plane, but, like, Batman will go forward and backward in that plane, like, as you do attack. So, like, you could be surrounded by bad guys. But, like, kind of as you fight them, like, you'll go into, like, the background a little bit, and then you'll do a counter and then come more into the foreground and kind of go between it almost seamlessly. And it looks very cinematic, and it replicates the, you know, the combat system in the Arkham games, which are in full 3D, replicates it very well.
I'm excited for this. I mean, former Metroid developers working on a Metroid game starring Batman. What could go wrong?
Yeah. I mean, just like them making a Mega Man X first-person shooter, probably a lot, but so far so good.
Well, we didn't see much of that Mega Man X first-person shooter.
That was about it for 3DS, I think.
Well, there was Mario & Luigi Dream Team.
Yeah, which that's coming out soon. They had some really goofy shit with the touchscreen. Even use the gyroscope a little bit, because you have you basically a giant ass Luigi, and then you hold the 3DS in book style, and you have to, you know, do stuff on the touchscreen to, like, avoid attacks or attack you know, a giant enemy. And then at one point, Luigi, like, grabs a star out of the sky, and then Mario hops on it like Kirby, and then you have to tilt the system to line up against hitting the bad guy, and then you, like, blow him up.
Huh.
That was just, like, that was one of the battles that they had. I didn't play as much of that demo, because RPGs don't demo all too well. And also, that game's coming out pretty soon, so it wasn't on my high priority to play list.
Right.
But I'm really excited for that game. Everything that I've seen about it, it looks great, and, I mean, it looks like it's going to be another Mario and Luigi game. Which, for people who like that, like myself, that's a thing to be excited
this
about.
This game may get me back into Mario and Luigi. I played and loved 1 and 2, and then what was the third one?
Bowser's Inside.
Yeah, I didn't play that one.
Yeah.
That one's way better than the second one.
Is it? I liked the second one. Shit, I should get the third one.
The second one's the weakest one for me.
I mean, since we're done talking games now, do we want to talk a little bit about E3 next year and whether or not we think another Nintendo Direct will be in the cards?
I think after how bad the streaming was, I think they're either going to like get servers for the E3 Nintendo Direct or probably do a press
conference. They already kind of alluded to the fact that this was probably going to be a one-off thing.
Yeah.
And I think it was the right move in the end. There was really no point to waste all of that money when Sony and Microsoft are just going to drown you out no matter what this year because of their new consoles.
Right. It was an interesting experiment, and I'm glad they did it. It made it different for us, at least.
Oh, I guess we should talk a little bit about Smash Brothers, even though it wasn't playable.
That will be E3 2014.
Yeah. That's going to be, I mean...
Either way.
I'm a little bummed out to hear that there is not going to be cross-play between the two games, which they never said there was going to be. They did sort of imply that there might be.
Yeah, I think they heavily implied that there would be, if I'm not mistaken.
But I think that was... Because when Smash Brothers was announced originally, I think it was like Iwata talked to Sakurai and was like, yo, man, you want to make Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS? And he was like, I guess. I'm making Kid Icarus Net right now, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Iwata's like, I'm going to announce it. And Sakurai's just like, dude, wait. No, damn it.
We're making it with you or without you.
Yeah.
Good thing with him.
I mean, that's what they did with Brawl, I think, was they announced it. And then like Sakurai was like, so who's making it? And Iwata was just like, you.
I think it's funny that there's a couple of Nintendo's biggest franchises are actually second party efforts, like Smash Brothers and Pokemon. Nintendo doesn't own those developers technically.
Yep. Weird. But yeah, I mean,
and
Smash Brothers, the
Wii Fit trainer thing is just the weirdest inclusion
to
me.
Good.
Like, it's funny as shit. At first I was like, this is like, why did they? And then I thought, oh yeah, Sakurai. Like, I mean, that's the reason specifically.
The thing with Smash Brothers is that before E3, like, I was like, okay, we're going to see stuff on Smash Brothers. It's not like I'm not excited. Like, it's a new Smash Brothers game. It'll be great. And then after they showed off the Villager and Mega Man and Wii Fit
Trainer.
Fucking
Mega Man. I'm so excited.
And like, they showed off, you know, just some snippets of gameplay. I just became like, fucking open up the dojo. Let me go there every goddamn day.
Well, there's no dojo this time around, which is kind of a bummer, but at least we get daily or almost daily Miiverse posts from Sakurai.
Yeah. I think those will probably get more frequent as we go on.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And I mean, it does kind of
were supposed to be daily, but I don't think there was one yesterday, but it's like, also the dude was in LA.
Yeah. He's mostly just been posting screenshots so far, but I'm sure he'll be doing more with it as time goes on. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm probably only going to get one version of this game. It just doesn't seem to me like there's reason enough to buy both of them. The only way I could see it is if I'm kind of hoping they do this where you can buy some kind of bundle pack for a reduced price. You get both of them.
Yeah. Like something like spend, you know, $80, get both or something.
Yeah. Cause one of them will be 60 and one of them will be 40.
Yeah.
So that's $100 right there for one game. If you want to play it on both systems. So if they could do it for 80 or 90, that would be nice. Or, you know, maybe if you bought them both on the eShop, you get some kind of kickback or something.
Yeah. That would be cool. I mean, I'm just really excited for the lead up.
I hope the online works this time because honestly, I don't really have the opportunity to play these kind of games with a lot of friends in person anymore. I barely played Brawl past like the first month because we just couldn't get people together often enough to play it. So, and the online sucked shit. And I was really hoping that the online would pull through in that game, and it just didn't. So they better get it right this time.
I just wanted to do a little bit of PR work here. We just got an email, Nintendo World Report. About a website called, well, it's probably supposed to be Gamnesia, but it's spelled like Gamnesia, awarded Game of Wario as Nintendo's best game at E3. So,
are they high?
Play one game?
They said it might be interesting if we wrote about this. We won't write about it, but I will talk about it right now and just say fuck you. That's really all you could say. And stick around for our next segment.
Yeah.
We will talk about that.
I'm looking over it. It does have some good points.
What, that it was there and it has bright colors?
Well, no, that the fourth game that he played was called Designer and featured Dr. Krygor. I mean, that's correct.
That's true.
That is a game in the game.
Yeah, so just thought I'd share that. Seemed topical.
And we will talk more Game & Wario, I guess, in just a few minutes.
Yeah, but, right after the break.
Then, I'm Neil. We got Mike and Scott signing off for this segment.
All right, talk to you guys later. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson, and I am with Neil Ronahan.
Hi.
Hello. And today we're going to be talking about Game & Wario. Which, if you already listened to the first segment, you know generally how we feel about the game. But we're going to go a little bit more in depth with it now. It comes out, what, this Sunday, I think?
It comes out on June 23rd.
Sunday,
I believe it'll be available at midnight, so...
So if you're, you want to stay up late for this one.
For this piece of shit. I hate being so negative about Game & Wario, because it's not like it's a terribly, like, awfully made game. It's just so stupidly shallow.
See, that's the thing. It's like, it's not like there's bad implementation of the gamepad for the most part anyway. And it's not like it's buggy or there isn't fun to have in it. But like you said, shallow is definitely the word. I mean, you can see everything this game has to offer within like an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and you did. That's right. And there's very little like you want to revisit. But yeah, you did. So for people who don't know, we got the review copy and I was reviewing it. But Neil was like, oh, I'll open this and check this out, you know, tonight before I send it to Scott tomorrow. And in that night of just like sort of just having fun with it, you saw everything.
Yeah,
you played the whole
game. I saw the end credits. I know that a lot of the single player games do kind of have like levels you can go through and you unlock stuff as you play more.
Yeah.
But yeah. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, there's very few games you'll want to revisit. I've got the list of games here. I figure we can go through and talk about each one a little bit. I didn't do this in the review because I didn't want to just like have a 2,000-word review like talking about every single game.
If you do want to see that, read Don Koopman's review from the Japanese launch, because I think he was a little more didactic in how he just laid out all the games.
He did, yeah, and I read his review today, actually, after I was done writing my review, because I wanted to check it out, and yeah, he goes through game by game. He actually thought higher of the game than we both do, but yeah. So anyway, so let's go through. There's 12 single-player games and 4 multiplayer games, but it's weird that how they haven't broken up, because a few of the single-player games can actually be played two-player, but they're in the single-player menu, which is strange.
Yeah.
So the first one is Aero. Which has you using the gamepad to pull back an arrow, and then you aim at the TV with the gamepad, and then you let go of the touchscreen, and your arrow goes flying and kills robots. And I mean, that's it.
You
pretty
get
much
pepper
it.
Shots that are like kind of like they're like bombs instead of just regular arrows.
Yeah, you can rub the tip of the arrow, which is Wario's nose, when you have pepper, and yeah, you'll do a power shot.
Yeah, and like guys will, you know, come off the screen and go jump on the gamepad, and you need to, you know, shake them off and stuff.
Yeah, tap the gamepad to get them off the gamepad. Yeah, which is kind of cute, but I don't know, like, I mean, I wrote this in my review, but it just feels like after playing something like Link's Crossbow Training or like House of the Dead, you know, Overkill and stuff like that, it just seems really weird to try to play a light gun game with the gamepad. I mean, I know you're doing the swiping motion on the gamepad, which is, I guess, a nice little touch. But, like, the aiming and stuff, it's just so clunky.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from, like, aiming with us, like, the sleekness of the Wii remote. It just feels off.
I mean, I first played Aero, I guess, E3 2012, when they revealed Game & Wario. And it was a really novel E3 demo. And I wound up, I think, playing it again because for those who went to any public event where the Nintendo had the Wii U playable, they basically had the same demos at everything up until, hopefully, after E3 this year. And I probably played it again, and I honestly could have just stopped playing after that. Like, as you do work your way through it, you know, they've thrown some different bosses and stuff like that and some different enemies, but it's just... it's not something I want to play over and over again because it's so damn clunky.
Right. Yeah, there's 4 stages to play in total. And, yeah, it just doesn't... I mean, it's okay, but there's no reason to go back to it whatsoever.
Yeah, except for, I mean, there are high scores. Pretty much everything here has high scores, but it's all local. No online high scores, which I don't know why it's that fucking hard for Nintendo to make online leaderboards in anything.
Right. If this game had online leaderboards, honestly, the score would go up probably by like a point, the score I gave it, because it'd be so much more of an incentive to actually play these games multiple times and get good at them. But right, as it stands, local leaderboards, there's just no reason to try.
Yeah, that would require having another person in the house that wants to play these single-player games, which
right.
That person does not exist.
No.
I think, no, I did force Lauren to play Arrow because I didn't want to play that first level again.
Yeah.
She didn't really care for it.
No. Yeah. It's not really all that great. The next game then that you unlock, and I should say with the single player, you start with Arrow, and then when you like beat the first stage, you unlock the next game. And
it's
that keeps,
like a WarioWare game.
Yeah, it keeps going until you unlock all of them. Like, you just have to beat the first stage or like get a certain number of points in each game, and then you unlock the next one. Mm-hmm. So the next one was Ski. With this one, you're skiing down a slope, and you're tilting the gamepad to steer as you're going downhill. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's very simple. I mean, it's once again like a lot of these where they show you a neat little like, oh, look, on the gamepad, I'm playing this game like it's a Flash game. And the people on the TV, it's like it's a 3D action game.
Right, with like cool camera angles. Yeah. And like, it looks very like action packed. But right, what you're actually playing on the gamepad, a Flash game is a great way to describe it. I mean, that's really what it is.
I mean, it's a lot of like, these are kind of like fucking shitty versions of Nintendo or Nintendo Land games. Because Ski's like a crappy F-Zero, Arrow's like a crappy Takamaru's Ninja Castle, and Takamaru's Ninja Castle was already pretty crappy.
Yeah, absolutely. And on this one, there's 5 stages, you know, with different tracks, and then there's like an endless mode. To, you know, just see how far you can get. But again, what's the point? With just local leaderboards, I mean, it's who are you really competing against? And it's just not, I mean, this is the first one that really kind of uses all gyro for the gamepad. And so at the time, you're like, oh, okay, this is neat. But by the time you get to the end of the game, and we'll talk about it, but there's like 4 or 5 different games that just use the gyro sensor in the gamepad in different ways. So by the end of it, they all just become so like samey. Because they're doing literally the same things, so you're just kind of bored with the whole concept by the end of it. Not a huge fan of this one whatsoever. After that, you unlock Shudder, which I thought was actually pretty good. It's one of my favorite.
Shudder is pretty cool because that's also one of those ones where it gives you that kind of sense of like community play.
Right, where like you could sit down with some friends and they could be like, oh, over there in the right building, and then you go. So yeah, so Shudder, on the TV screen, there's a big scene going on. You're completely zoomed out. It starts off with like just a town. There's a few buildings and like some cars driving in the background. But you unlock other things. Like there's a musical where there's like an actual like musical production going on. And you have to take pictures of the actors as they're coming on stage and doing things. And then there's one where there's like ghosts haunting the town, and you have to take pictures of the ghosts, but you can't see them on the TV screen. You don't see them until you take the picture of them, and it develops on film, so you kind of just have to look for weird things going on. So that's pretty cool. And then you hold the gamepad up to like, you know, in front of the TV, and you're using the screen as sort of like the zoom of the camera, and that's how you take your pictures. You adjust the zoom, and like Pokemon Snap, you get graded on the quality of your picture. So if
it
the
just makes
characters.
Me want Pokemon Snap.
Seriously, I know. There's no excuse now. But, so you get graded on the picture, like, if the character's looking at you, if he's fully in frame, if he's smiling, that kind of stuff. At the beginning of the stage, it gives you, like, 5 targets you need to take pictures of. So you have to find them in the scene that's going on and then snap their picture before you run out of time or before you run out of film. And, this one was really fun, and I like the different stages. And, like I said, the ghosts add an interesting element in those stages, and the musical scenes are cool because the actors are walking off and on stage, so you only have a certain amount of, you know, opportunities to take pictures of them. So it's really well done. And this is one I went to back to a few times. And like you said, with friends, you know, sitting on the couch,
When I played this, Lauren was with me, and it was the kind of thing where it's like, oh, look, there's that guy there. Take a picture of him. Or like, oh, he popped out of that. You missed him. And I mean, it was probably my favorite. Maybe not my favorite one out of the whole single-player batch, but it was definitely up there.
Yeah, it's probably my second favorite. Well, we'll get to my favorite in a minute here. But it's very good. And good implementation of the gamepad. Like, it feels like something you couldn't have done, without the gamepad. So that's pretty sweet.
God, make Pokemon Snap!
Seriously, there's no excuse. This needs to happen.
You could literally, same N64 graphics. I don't give a fuck. That game is gold.
Yeah. That's money waiting to be made. They're idiots if they're not thinking about this, especially with the Shudder minigame now.
Yeah.
So then after that, you unlock Patchwork, which is sort of a weird puzzle game with the two Kat and Anna, the Katana sisters. And basically, they slice a bunch of fabric into different shapes, and then there's this big grid, and you have to match the fabric onto the grid to make pictures. It's kind of like a strange little... It kind of reminds me of Picross in a little way.
A little bit.
But it's actually not bad for what it is, and there's a lot of puzzles to do.
For me, how you make the Picross comparison, it's kind of like Picross, if Picross kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah,
it really
like
isn't.
Competent. There's a lot of stuff to do, but it's like, there was totally a game I reviewed kind of recently that was like, it was a puzzle game that was modeled after a puzzle game that I really liked, but it was just like a shitty puzzle game. I think Block Factory on eShop was something that I reviewed that was, it tried to be a puzzle game, like all those other puzzle games you like, and it just sucked.
Yeah, and that's how this is. Like you said, competent is probably the best way to describe it. It's not exactly fun in any way, and it's kind of confusing too.
Yeah.
Because the grid, like the lines on the grid, all like overlap each other, so you have to find the exact right spot where these patches of fabric go, and it's not always like clear. So sometimes you're just kind of guessing, like just putting it randomly on the canvas, and it eventually just sort of clicks. But it's okay, and it's nice that there's so many puzzles. So if for some reason this one clicks for you, there's a lot to do, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, just sort of so. Then after that, you unlock Kung Fu, which is absolutely terrible. So in this one, you're playing as a character who is just constantly jumping. You can't control it. As soon as he hits the ground, he jumps back up in the air, and you're looking down on the gamepad, and you're tilting it forward, left, right, and back to make him move as he's jumping through the air, and you're jumping across platforms and just trying to get to the end before the timer runs out. And I mean, that's basically it. And there's 5 levels of this game, which I don't know why there needs to be 5 levels of this game. I mean, after the first level, you've seen the game, like you've seen everything you do. You literally just move a character as he jumps. That's it.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. It looks great. It looks like Okami.
Yeah.
The art style is pretty
sweet.
It's got
a cool art style, and it's also kind of like just a nifty setup for everything, like how you're looking at the gamepad and looking at the TV, but it's bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just not fun. Then my favorite game of the whole bunch is Gamer, which is what you unlock next. So this has 2 modes. The main mode has you playing classic WarioWare games on the gamepad. You know, the kind of stuff where it's like, yeah, press A to pick the nose, or like input this command in 3 seconds to transform. You know, don't get stomped on by the Bigfoot, that kind of stuff from the old WarioWare games. But meanwhile, on the TV screen, you're in your bedroom and you're supposed to be sleeping, but you're playing, and your mom will periodically like just come into the room to make sure you're sleeping. And the music starts to like get kind of like eerie and really tense as she's approaching. So you hold the triggers to pause the game and pretend to sleep so she doesn't know you're playing. But while you're pretending to sleep, your stamina is draining. Like, you're actually getting tired unless she's in the room. If you're pretending to sleep while she's in the room, it doesn't drain. So the idea is you don't want to press the triggers to like the split second before she's about to come in, so you can play as long as, you know, as long as possible and, you know, get the highest score.
Yeah.
And I thought this one was really neat, and I like that there's, like, 2 ways to lose. I mean, you can literally lose just playing the WarioWare games, you know, if you just don't play the games right, or you can lose by your mom catching you. I thought that was really, really neat. It's a game within a game.
Yep.
So, I like this one a lot. And then after you, like, do well enough the first time, you unlock the second mode, which is literally just playing WarioWare on the gamepad. There's no mom or anything. You literally just play WarioWare, which is so great.
Which is better than the actual thing. Like, I mean, I think it's neat, but it would give me... It would make me just so distracted from actually playing the WarioWare game because I'd be worried about the mom finding me.
Yeah. I have to say, I thought that was cool. It was like you were like having to focus on 2 things. It reminded me of like stuff like from Zombie U, where it's like on the gamepad you're doing something, but you need to be aware of what's going on the TV screen. I just thought it was kind of cool. But I do appreciate that you can literally just play WarioWare without that element, too, if you want to. Yeah. But it was fun. That was a fun one to kind of pass around and play with a few people and see who could get the furthest. Or work together, you know, have a friend say, oh, she's coming. That worked out pretty well. After that was Design, which I thought was kind of neat. Like, it's not something you should buy this game for. I don't think you should buy this game anyway. But it's not, like, a standout or anything, but I thought it was kind of a neat concept and just proved to me, like, how horrible I am at, like, freehand drawing. So in this one, there's commands that pop up. Like draw a 2-inch line on the gamepad screen, or draw a 55-degree angle, or draw a triangle with 4-inch sides. And after you do each, it grades you on how well you did. So it'll actually show you how long like the line was you drew, or the angle you drew. And at the end, your drawings help like create this robot. And it's not that great single player, but it one of the ones that after you play it once, you unlock a two-player mode. And my wife and I had a lot of fun doing this. Could you just pass the gamepad back and forth, and then at the end you see how everyone's, you know, how your drawings compared and who had the highest score. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, there was E3 2011. There was a demo that was like this, except for it didn't have any of the robot overtones.
Yeah.
It was just all like, you know, draw a triangle of X length, and then you'd compete to see who could do it better.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, I think that's where this shines, is kind of in the, you know, person, like, you know, PvP, as opposed to the, you know, trying to get it to make a robot.
Right, yeah, it's much better as a two-player game, yeah. I thought. Hyper-competitive, and then you know, so if you're, like, playing second, like, you see what the person in front of you drew. You don't get, it's not graded to the end, but you see, like, what he thought a two-inch line was, so then it kind of has you wondering, like, oh, I think he was a little short, you know, like, I think I'm going to go a little longer, or just different stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And by the end of it, like, you'll probably get really good at being able to freehand those measurements. Like, I can probably draw a really good 2-inch line now from playing that a few times. But yeah, that was pretty sweet. I like that. Like I said, nothing, it's not a showstopper by any means, but I thought it was kind of interesting. After that, you unlock Ashley, which is a really terrible, like, shoot 'em up, where you don't do any of the shooting.
Yep.
You use the gamepad's gyro sensor to move Ashley as she's flying from left to right horizontally. And use it to, like, kind of avoid obstacles and just navigate the level while she automatically shoots enemies that approach, and then you just collect, like, the little gems that they drop, which was just stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Yeah. So not only is it boring because you're not doing any of the shooting, but then it's just sort of unresponsive because you're using a gyro sensor to navigate rather than just being able to press, like, up or down. Yep. So this one was bad. Very bad. There's three stages. I don't think you'll even play two of them. I didn't. Well, I guess I did play two. I played two of the three just because there was a view in the game. If I wasn't reviewing the game, I never would have gone back. But then after that, you have Taxi.
Which is another... pretty cool.
See, I really didn't really get into it. It's okay. So on the gamepad, you're driving a taxi, and there's UFOs picking up like farm animals or pedestrians, just depending on the stage. And you have to shoot down the UFOs, pick them up, and then sort of like Crazy Taxi, like take them back to like this like rally point, which wasn't bad. And then on the TV screen, there's like the whole map, so like, you can see where the UFOs are.
Top down perspective, and then on the gamepad, it's from like first person driving.
First person, yeah, in the taxi, yeah. The only thing I didn't like is I felt like it should have been reversed. Like in every Wii U game to this point, like the gamepad's always like sort of the map and all the actions on the top screen. Not that it was that bad, but I kind of felt like I would have preferred it if I was doing all the driving on the top screen.
Yeah.
And then a little map on the bottom screen. Yeah. But I mean, it's fine. It was okay. I didn't really have any reason to kind of go back to it, but nothing wrong with it. It was a decent concept, and I appreciate that it wasn't using gyro controls like half the game. So that it wasn't bad. Speaking of gyro controls, then we had Pirates, which is a sort of, like, weird rhythm game.
Which was another one that showed up at E3 2011.
Okay.
I forget the name of it. But that was one of the standout demos at E3 2011 that everyone
was it?
Because it was very, you know, WarioWare and Rhythm Heaven-esque.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed from playing the full thing is basically, like, that demo was what this is.
Right, like, there was nothing added to it. Like, it's exactly, they just shipped it. Yeah. So there's ships straight ahead of you, to the left, to the right, and then above you. And in time with the beat, like, Wario will say, like, center, left, right, and then you gotta, like, hold the gamepad in front of you, to the left of you, and to the right of you, and to block arrows coming at you, and then you shake the gamepad to knock them off. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's very colorful, you know, it's not bad, but there's just not, I don't know, there's just not a lot going on. Like, once you've played one level, you've pretty much seen everything there is to do. Then there's a little, like, musical breakdown at the end where I guess they expect you to, like, get off your couch and kind of, like, dance with the gamepad, but I never did any of that.
Dance.
Yeah. And then at the end, it grades, like, how many arrows you blocked and, like, how enthusiastic you were, I guess, with your dancing and just all kinds of stuff. But it seems like this one wouldn't be bad with a big group of people just because it makes you look so dumb. Especially the dancing portions, but it's just sort of like, it's just kind of weird. It didn't really do anything for me. Then after that, you unlock bowling, which I know you had some good things to say about bowling, Neil.
Really? Are we almost done. Like, it feels like we barely talked about any games, but yeah. Oh, Game & Wario just sucks. Yeah, so I got to bowling, and like I guess Pirates the last one, because then it goes to the credits. And then at the end of the credits, spoiler, like someone's just like, oh, let's go bowl. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to have like a Wii Sports bowling, but with Wario characters or something silly like that. And then I see it's like, you know, drag on the touchscreen to bowl. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I literally have a Wii remote on the table over there. And you're making me do a bowling game in which I have to, like, it's basically like I'm playing a browser game.
Yeah.
Using my mouse to, you know, click and drag the direction that I want. Like, I'm playing, like, Elf Bowling or one of those stupid games from 15 years ago.
Yep, that's right.
And you can tilt the gamepad to change your direction after you bowl. And it's not even, like, a real bowling game because it's just, like, a skill shot contest.
Yeah.
It's, like... This is probably what made me really despise the game. I was mildly okay with it being like, oh, you know, there's not much to it, but I'm having some fun. And I got to this point, I'm like, this is your reward?
Yeah. And I wrote about this in my review. It was similar to the Arrow thing, but it's just like, we already got the pinnacle of video game bowling with Wii Sports, as crazy as that sounds. But I mean, you're not going to do video game bowling better than that. Unless, like, you make Mario Bowling or something, and it's just totally fleshed out with some crazy, like, RPG mode. Yeah. But on top of, like, but apart from that, like, just mechanically speaking, like, it's not going to get better than Wii Sports. And so now, yeah, you have this kind of crummy bowling game where you're just using the game bad,
I think,
bad
to flip the ball down the lane. Play was more fleshed out than this stupid bowling game.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. And yeah, that it's like the big unlockable. I mean, in the embargo sheet we got for this game, it said you could talk about every single game except bowling up until June 13th. After June 13th, you could talk about it, but bowling specifically was embargoed. Yeah. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, like, I guess the super secret is, you remember that bird game from the first WarioWare? Well, it's back.
Yep, with a vengeance.
Yeah, which I really only played that in Birds and Beans on the DSiWare.
Yeah.
That's because I didn't actually own... I never owned a copy of the first WarioWare game on Game Boy Advance until I became an ambassador. I played it, but I just never owned a copy of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. My first experience to WarioWare was there was the demo that was on like that one GameCube disc that you could get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then I had friends in school that had it, and I would just play it on theirs, and I didn't see any reason for why I'd have to get it. Up until I got WarioWare Touched was the first one that I owned.
Touched was really good, yeah.
Yeah, and then I played Twisted and realized that I was wrong, because Twisted is incredible.
Yeah, Twisted is very great, and few people played it. I don't I guess, I don't know, it was kind of a niche product, I guess. But the... Yeah,
I think it actually came out after Touched.
I think you're right, yeah. That probably didn't help.
But the one thing that they apparently do with Bird, and I didn't actually suffer through bowling enough to unlock this, is that, like, you're just kind of playing it normally on the gamepad, and then on the TV, it's, you know, in a cool art style.
I think it's vice versa. I think on the TV, it's, like, a modern, kind of, like, clean-looking, and then on the gamepad, it's, like, Game & Watch style, like LCD graphics. I think. It's one or the other, but yeah. There's two ways to look at it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just Bird. I mean, yeah, you're shooting your tongue out diagonally to catch, you know, seeds as they're falling. And if you miss them, it destroys part of your, you know, platform. And platform's completely destroyed. That's it. It's not bad, you know. It's very arcadey, but it's just not much of, like, a end game reward, really. I don't know.
That's the entire single-player experience.
That's it. Yep.
I would say multiplayer is... at least more interesting. I mean, especially like some of the 5-player ones.
Yeah. So the multiplayer, there's 4 multiplayer games. Yeah. There's Fruit, Disco, Sketch, and Island. Fruit, I think, has kind of been the most like talked about already.
Yeah, they had a big, they showed it off at a Nintendo Direct. Where it's like Spy Party, where you have one person using the gamepad, moving a character around amongst a group of people and trying to steal fruit, while everyone else, without a game controller in hand, just tries to watch the TV and figure out who the human is that's taking the fruit.
And that's what's kind of cool, because like the Wii did a good job of like breaking down barriers for people to play games, and then this kind of takes it one step further, because like you said, you're not even holding a controller. Yeah. Like you're literally just watching the TV. So like anyone can play this game, which is kind of cool.
I mean,
and it gets a lot better with more people, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, it is the kind of thing where it does say, you know, only 2 to 5 players, but really you could have as many people as you want.
Yeah, totally. You could have teams. You could have
Think Fruit's really neat, but I'd rather kind of see it fleshed out more in like a full, like, you know, $5 eShop game or something, as opposed to the side mini game that it is here.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a cool concept, and it's fun, and it's fun to kind of like go back and forth between a thief and, you know, being one of the agents trying to figure out who the thief is. So
yeah. It's
not bad. And then I think the other really great multiplayer game is Sketch, which is literally just Pictionary, but it's a lot of
really
fun.
Well done version of Pictionary.
It is for up to 5 people. So one person has the gamepad, and on the gamepad, it gives like a word, and then you have to draw the word. And then on the TV screen, you're seeing the drawing as it's happening. And once someone guesses the word on the gamepad, you just hit, you know, correct, or that someone got it, and then it moves on to the next word, and you've got like 2 minutes to just draw as many as you can, and then you get your score at the end.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you want to work together because you want to get the highest cumulative score at the end.
Yes, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, but it is the kind of thing where, once again, because the only interaction with the game is really the person drawing on the gamepad, like, I was bummed that when I sent this game to you that I was like, oh man, I can't play that game anymore. And then Lauren and I just literally played Pictionary, and it was the same kind of thing.
Yeah, and see, I mentioned that in my review. It's like, this game is great, but it's nothing you couldn't do with just a pad of paper and a marker, you know, or, you know, and just some suggestions written down on paper. So it's like the kind of thing where it's like, this is fun, but you don't buy the game for this because you could do this for free. Which is kind of unfortunate, but it is a fun game. Did you play Disco at all? Could you get the hang of it at all?
I kind of understood it. Lauren didn't.
Yeah.
So it didn't last long because we played around and she just didn't enjoy it.
Yep, same here. I was like, I think I understand what we're supposed to be doing. And then Tabby was like, I don't like this at all. Let's just draw pictures again. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me, too. Once we started playing Sketch, I was like, Lauren, I want to play the single-player game. And she's like, no.
No, we're drawing.
Yes. Because Disco, you're playing on the gamepad, and basically you have like one person on, you know, one side and one person on the other, and you have a couple buttons that then you can press in an order, and it sends like, you know, like Guitar Hero notes at the other people, and then the other person needs to kind of react to that by pressing the same buttons that you did in reaction.
Like in rhythm, yeah, to like block the attacks. Yeah. It's a cool idea, and I like the idea of holding the gamepad like that, like competitively with 2 people looking down at the screen and like holding each end of it.
That's what I mean. We talked about Wii Party U in the last segment. Wii Party U seems to basically do everything about Game & Wario, but right.
Oh, okay.
Like they have a cool little foosball thing where you're playing foosball on the gamepad. It's kind of awesome.
That is cool. Yeah, that's a neat idea, like a cool way to sort of implement it. But yeah, the Disco thing, I didn't get the hang of it. I mean, I guess if 2 people really got it, it could get pretty competitive, but it just seemed kind of dumb to me. It didn't really work for us. And then there's Island, which is kind of like almost like a shuffleboard type game, I guess.
Vague resemblances to Monkey Target, but Monkey Target is actually good.
Yeah, I got a Monkey Target vibe too. So you're basically looking down at like a big island with like a dartboard on it, basically with scores for different parts, depending if you land there, and you throw a bunch of critters on it and just try to get the highest score. And then you can like mess with your friends by purposely throwing your critters at their critters, to, like knock them into lower scoring portions of the island or just completely knock them off the island. And you go a couple rounds till you're completely out. And then whoever has the highest score wins.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't find it very interesting.
Yeah, that was probably my least favorite multi. Well, I don't know. I think I hated Disco more.
Yeah, but we played that one last, and it was just like, let's just go back to Sketch.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are your 16 games. There's things, you get coins every time you play a game, and you can go to a little vending machine to unlock these little kind of bonuses. And actually, it's more than just sort of like little things that sit like on a virtual shelf. Like you kind of do play with them. Like you get like a, I don't know, like a bubble wand, and then you blow into the gamepad's microphone to make bubbles, and like different little things, but they're not games. They're not anything to like really compel you to play a bunch to unlock everything, but they're it's not completely lazy. They're kind of funny. And then there is Miiverse Sketch, which I couldn't try because obviously the Miiverse channel is not up yet. But basically it's Sketch, but on Miiverse. So you get suggestions of what to draw, and then you draw it, and then people on Miiverse guess what you drew, which is kind of cool. It's a neat idea. But it's not, like, built into the game, really, and it's not... I don't think you get much for doing it, but like I said, I couldn't really try it out, so... So that's it. My review will be up by the time you hear this. You can read my review, but I gave the game a 5.5. There's just a few really good games that I had fun with, but there's just so much that's not interesting and that I never want to play again, and it outweighs what I would want to play again. And it's just weird because it doesn't fill either void of, like, what you'd be looking for right now. It's not a compelling single-player game that's going to hold you over till, like, Pikmin comes out, and it's not the kind of game you're going to pick up for, like, your next big party to play with a bunch of people, because there's just, like, there's not a lot of great multiplayer stuff, and there's not a lot of great single-player stuff. That was my overall sort of impression. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, even for $40, even at a discounted price, it just doesn't seem worth it. Like, if I bought this game day it came out, $40, I think I would have been really disappointed with my purchase. Especially because I would have bought it digitally and I couldn't have sold it. I don't know. I mean, you have anything else to add in about it? You know, I mean, I know you only had the one night with it, but...
I mean, not really. I mean, it's just that it was very disappointing. And the fact that, like, this is the new game to come out between April and fucking July.
Right.
For Nintendo, like, it's really disappointing. This game is worse than Wii Play, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's just disappointing for the legacy of WarioWare, because, like, I feel like Touched and Smooth Moves really did well to sort of illustrate how new hardware could be used to play games, and were genuinely funny and fun to play. And I know this isn't technically a WarioWare game, but, I mean, really, it's all part of the same series, if you ask me, and it's just really disappointing that it's as sort of bland and uninteresting as it is. Yeah, just very disappointing. So, sorry if you were looking forward to this one and really pumped to have us bridge the lull here this summer, but probably just download some virtual console games, I guess, till Pikmin comes out. So, well, that's it. Well, thanks, Neil, for being here and talking shit about Game & Wario with me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if you buy this weekend. We warned
you. Maybe rent it, you know? Yeah.
If you could still do that, I don't know. Did Microsoft ban that all? Or wait, no, they went back on their word. So.
Yeah, they went back on that, so now it's fine. Video stores are safe.
We're all good here.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we will talk to you guys later.
Yep. Bye.
Hello everyone, I am Dan Koopman and this is a segment for Connectivity. It's about the Nintendo 3DS, who far? No, really, we're talking about the new Street Boss games, which were released in Japan and Europe this week, and therefore I bought an American on stage.
Yeah, nowhere in North America to be seen.
Yeah, because I couldn't find anybody else to talk about it, really, so you're going to do with the best guy who is around, and that's actually Justin Baker.
Yep. So I will talk about what I know and what I've seen, although I've yet to have the pleasure of playing him.
Well, he's going to... You're possibly the best guy who asks questions because you've barely seen any of the stuff, so...
Yeah, and I'm definitely super excited, so...
For you, it will actually be all fresh, so I'm kind of actually excited to do this. So, the Street Boss games... Let's talk about this very quick first. We're actually kind of surprising that those were released, because they were released without any fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe that Nintendo Japan put up a page, and it was released, it was available, there was a system update, we all downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in comparison to the American update, where there were just like smaller changes, in the European and Japanese update, they added a whole bunch of stuff to the Street Pass Mii Plaza, which we didn't saw coming initially. Japan put up a page directly for it, so everybody knew, but for America, didn't know what's going on, and Europe was like, okay, we got them. So in the first few days, we couldn't download any of the games because of a server issue, and only people with like small plazas, less than 100 people, could download it from the get-go. Like, the rest of us had to wait till Thursday.
It definitely seemed oddly rushed out for something that no one knew was coming.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know about you, but I talked about it on Twitter. I was like, wouldn't have been this like a nice E3 surprise, like during the Nintendo,
right?
during the Nintendo Direct? I mean, between Pokemon and the new Mario, like also 3DS, we have a new system update coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I don't know why they didn't. I mean, and plus the other stuff aside from the Mii Plaza, I mean, the save data backup, that's pretty big news. I mean, that's important for some people. You know.
Also, like a smaller touch, you can actually set now the resolution, no, the brightness also in the system settings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, those are smaller but interesting things. I wonder why Nintendo did not talk about them in the slightest. I mean, we got a press release on the day that actually those games were fixed in Europe, but not directly when they were fixed, but a couple of hours after.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that is something, I guess, but it's barely enough. I mean, we didn't even get the water's floating head, so I don't know what to think of that either. I don't know, man. But yeah, the Street Pass update. So before I go in like the game stuff, there are also some like some smaller HUD changes. For example, when you now make a message for Street Pass, there is now also an option to add an emoticon, like a smile, like a smiley face, or like a drooly face, or like an angry face, or a sad mm-hmm. face, just like on Miiverse.
I haven't seen those in the North American one. I wonder if they're there yet, and if they are, if they're the same emoticons.
Well, they are part of that initial update, so mm-hmm. America doesn't have that initial update at all, so
okay.
They don't see the new front end. Exactly. I checked on my North American 3DS. It's not there.
We don't. Man, we got nothing. We didn't get emoticons. We didn't get games. We didn't get hats.
You don't even get the snazzy new looks for all the Street Pass games, like the new section and the new plaza.
Mm-mm.
Which is basically, it used to be that all of the Street Pass games were gathered on a list. So Street Pass Quest 2, Street Pass Quest 1, and then Puzzle Swap, I believe.
Right.
Was it Puzzle Swap? I don't know.
It was. Well, in America, it's Find Me 1 and 2 and then Puzzle Swap, but yeah.
Yeah. I think Puzzle Swap is the same name everywhere, so.
Mm-hmm.
But now, there is, like, similar to how you have, like, a preview screen on, like, every single 3DS game when you put in the cartridge or have a download game or what have you. All of these games have now also their own splash screen.
Hmm.
So there's a splash screen for a Puzzle Swap, one for Street Pass Quest, and all for all of the four new games.
Mm-hmm.
So before you start the game, you can actually see like some of the Miis will jump up and say, "Oh, I've got this." So for some games, it's actually pretty significant. For example, for like some of the games we get into, like Street Pass Battle or Street Pass Garden, it's important that you find Miis who have the game as well.
Right.
Because you get better rewards out of it. So that's actually kind of a neat touch. So those were the small touches. Let's now talk about the games, because that's pretty much where everybody is coming here for.
Yeah, I want to start with Street Pass Squad, because that's the one that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, that's an side-scrolling shooter by Goodfeel, of all people.
Mm-hmm. And is it just me, or does the ship look oddly similar to Opa Opa from Fantasy Zone?
Yes, and it's more of a pod, exactly. It's more of a pod viewer.
It's a little different, but I was watching it on YouTube, and I had the video real little because I hadn't blown it up yet, and I was like, no, and I blew it up, and it wasn't, but that was my first inclination. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, GoodFuel were responsible for Kirby's Epic Yarn, Wario Land Shaked, also the Zyra game. I can't remember what it's called. Doesn't really matter. But they have now made something for the 3DS, and it's a Street Bus game. Who knew? I say who knew a lot in this episode. Wow. So you control a ship, and what you do with your Street Pass is every single color is a weapon. Like, if you get a red one, it's, of course, fire.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get, for example, a blue one, it's not water, because perhaps that doesn't make sense. It are just rockets. And then,
well, that's like better purple, than a water gun. So yeah.
Purple, I believe, is like a laser. Black is like razor sharp edges that go around the area and blow stuff up. Every single one of these colors has an initial weapon. The trick about this is that you can only have like three in the front and one in the back who can shoot weapons. But what do you do with the rest of those Miis? Every time you put a Mii after the initial one, the weapon will level up.
Okay. And
you can do that up to two times, so it will go up from level 2 to level 3. It will make the weapons more effective, but it's also easier for enemies to, for example, touch your ship and blow off one of these Miis away.
Now, is it kind of like Street Pass Quest in that the more times you've tagged that Mii in Street Pass, does it get more powerful just from gaining levels, or is it just whenever you add more guys?
No, it's just whenever add you guys. And that's a running theme for the games here. It doesn't really matter how many times you Street Pass someone.
Hmm.
It's more about who you Street Pass.
Right, getting the right colors.
Yeah. Now, well, the weapons are mostly good. It doesn't really matter which weapon you get, except for one, which isn't really powerful. I think they're the bombs. You can shoot bombs, but even at level 1, they go insanely slow, and they're not very helpful. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the weapons, they are pretty cool. But so you go through those stages, and your initial goal is to get a high score, which you can also exchange for Street Pass at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to collect like 5 special gems to help yourself to the top of the high score, which is an extra goal you can get. So at the end of every stage, you are always rewarded with an exchange booth ticket. These tickets, which can also be earned in other games, grant you access to 4 new hats every single day of your choosing. Oh, wow. Yeah, well, you pay for one, but and you can already see like the name and like a shadowy figure of what the hat will look like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to you which hat you want and which ones you don't. I like Squad a lot, especially in the aspect of like the bosses, because there's this story going on where you're the lead commander of this Mii Force space team. And you always have to find new recruits to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much a story against space pirates.
Right.
And you go through, like, the first world is a beach. Then you have a tropical world, like a jungle world. And the third one is a theme park. I'm not the final world yet. But it has some nice music to it. It plays well enough as a side-scrolling shooter. It's also just a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one that you can easily return to older levels and still have a blast because of those high scores. So even when you're done, there are still a lot of goals to go for. And that's the interesting thing, because every single one of those new Street Pass games also have its own set of accomplishments.
Kind of like achievements?
Well, just like on the Street Pass Mii Plaza, they added in the previous update those accomplishments for
goals.
you can get. But every one of those games has like 22 accomplishments on their own.
Oh, wow. Now, does it have any of the things where you have to have certain colors, like specific weapons to damage certain enemies, or they're more effective, or...
Yeah, there were one instance where you have to, like, attack ghosts, and you can easily avoid them. They're no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been more helpful to have the purple weapon, which is a special sort of whip, which you can move them directly out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a big issue. You can still avoid them and complete the level as usual, but it will raise your high score a little better if you have the right weapons upon you.
Right, so... kind of the same, but not nearly as restrictive as something like Street Pass Quest, where there were points where if you didn't have the right color, you couldn't progress.
Yeah, it's way less restrictive in that matter.
That's good.
Yeah. So we move on to the next one, or do you have any other questions about this one?
No, I think that's all I got on that one.
Okay. So which one do you want to hear next about?
Let's see. We'll save that one. Let's do Street Pass Garden. Because that's the one that seemed the least interesting to me, and
it's surprising how many people will say that on their initial try,
mm-hmm.
and I totally get where they're coming from, because Street Pass Garden is a slow burn at the beginning. It takes a while to get going. You have to like plant a seed in a pot, and then a bunch of mice come about, and then. Give the plant some water of the flower.
Mm-hmm.
After they have done that a certain amount of times, though, pollination happens and you can acquire like new seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the mies that grow, like for example, a certain flower, it's easier for you to get new breeds of flowers or different colors or anything. In between, because the seeds have always like a balance. Sometimes you can get like a good opportunity out of it to get like a complete new breed, but sometimes like the chance that you'll get a new breed out of a certain seed is insanely low.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about it is the seeds that you don't need, then you can sell and you get money for them, and you can buy like various items to build up a garden on your own and all of this sort of stuff. It seems like insanely dorky, but I enjoy this pretty much so.
So it's just kind of a slow burn as compared to something like Street Pass Squad.
It's more easy going. There are accomplishments though, don't get me wrong. There is mm-hmm. still a goal in the game. Your goal is to get like of the various flowers there are, 20 of them,
mm-hmm.
To become this master gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And it is surprisingly hard to get like the correct amount of seeds upon you,
mm-hmm.
Because even though you always think to have a good chance upon a new breed, the stats of every seed will tell you if there's a good chance it will just get a recolor, reskin of the same flower you have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always this excitement to find out if you are on the correct track or not.
Right.
Yeah. And in the game, you can also like view upon other people's gardens who already made progress that far into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun part about it is you can also take screenshots of it, which are insanely huge. Like, the normal 3DS screenshots are like 400 by 240, but these are like 800 by 480, like the largest 3DS screenshots that will render from the 3DS.
Well, so you can show off your flowers in high resolution.
Yeah, and also like your own garden as well.
Yeah.
Because you can also set like various things in the garden and make it more of your own.
Mm.
And the selection of things that you actually can buy for it changes day to day. Mm-hmm. So there's some randomness to it, and I like it a lot, but it's something that you have to get into. It's not exactly the same game thing as the other three. It's not as action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's a lot of interesting stuff to it, and mm-hmm. I'll actually like it a lot. It's also surprisingly if it's made by Gresso, who made the only title they have made before is, of course, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually nice to see something original from them.
And right, definitely.
I actually appreciate it a lot. So It was fun at the very least.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's do Street Pass Mansion next, because I'm playing a lot of Luigi's Mansion right now, so this is interesting to me.
Street Pass Mansion, for starters, is made by Probe,
mm-hmm.
who is, of course, led by Yuki Naka, one of the co-creators of Sonic the Hedgehog. And what they have made is a mix between a puzzle game and an action game.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to take some initial explanation because it's a hard larger to explain, actually. So you are the boss of an investigative bureau, and your assistant has already gone into this mysterious mansion and has been missing for quite a while now. You decide to enter this mansion unaware that there are ghosts in there. So you hop in there and you are stuck. So the first thing that you get equipped with is a gun. More of a magic gun with like a specific magical power like fire or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And what this turns into is like this very simple RPG where the process is that you have to like fill up the meter of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And how far do you get, the more damage you will do to your enemies.
Okay.
What's interesting about it is all of the enemies have their various elements too, so you have to find what is effective to them. You can upgrade your weapons to various skills. There are like stones in the game where you can also upgrade those weapons further and advance them more.
Right.
That's the action part of it, but your final goal in the game is to get to the 30th floor of the mansion. But the problem is that all of the levels are completely empty, and you can't walk upon nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the street boss Mii's come in check, because they have all pieces on them which can fill up the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It is handy, in any case, to have as much of the same color as possible. Why that is because you will get more rewarded with special treasure chests and special items to help you keep going into the game. Because everything you obtain, like health, new items, better weapons, stat upgrades, are through these treasure chests.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to find as much of the same color as possible. It's not a requirement, but be aware that when you do that, you will encounter more enemies than is possibly necessary for you.
Right.
But you get some nice rewards out of it. I think I got some really advanced weaponry because I had like 5 of the color red.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped to also fill up the room pretty quicker without having to go through all of these enemies all over again.
Right.
And sometimes you also get like random stuff like initial extra ticket booth tickets, or if you advance that far, initial extra upgrades every single time to upgrade your weapons.
Mm.
So there's some good stuff there. And as well, you encounter Mii's who will then help you on your quest against the next bunch of enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that they would have it to where getting a lot of the same color is beneficial, because by contrast, you know, things like Street Pass Quest, if you got a lot of the same color, you know, it didn't really help you out that much. And especially, like, in my area anyways, the people I usually street pass, it's a lot of, like, blue and black and red, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I would have to look for days until I found a yellow or whatever color I needed. So it's nice that they're kind of making it to where if you have a lot of people of the same color, that's beneficial instead of hurting you.
Yeah. So it's a big contrast from Street Pass Quest, because you get more rewards if you have the same color.
Mm-hmm.
The game is kind of tricky in that you have to do in the battle system a lot of guarding and like quick counterattacks, because the enemies become kind of tricky up from like the third floor already. So it becomes kind of a challenge to like beat every single level and keep yourself in a race, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lose all of your health and you still have a bunch of Mii's, that's it, your turn is over. You can't do anything with those Mii's.
Right.
So it's important to keep yourself as much as possible well in the game and coordinate yourself around those enemies as smartly as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
The game has a lot of depth to it, and I barely have experienced the full depth of it all. I mean, I'm still at the third or fourth floor.
Right.
Some walls that where you can possibly get into is the frustration with not finding the stairs to the next floor. Like, you get these pieces, but if your floor is pretty much almost filled up, you have big problems placing those blocks into the right areas, because if they don't fit, they're lost on you. You can't do anything with them. So it becomes also this micromanagement of placing the blocks well enough to have enough room to keep yourself that way in the race.
Right, so you don't
it's a management game, it's an action game, it's a puzzle game. And there are more puzzles if you find the Miis, also, because some Miis will have these puzzle boxes where you have to place blocks in the environment as well to kind of test your skills.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of cool things there. It's a lot of fun, but it's not an easy game. It becomes kind of tactical.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we got one left. Let's do Street Pass Battle, which I'm a big strategy game fan, so this one I'm really interested in.
This final one is made by Spike Chunsoft, who made the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games and Siren the Wanderer and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly enough, they didn't make mention. they made a battle game, which is pretty much... It's pretty much simplified to its simplest core, but there are some elements to it. So Street Pass Battle is... It opens with you wanting to start your own kingdom in a remotely place. And the first thing you do is like build up a castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun starts because you can choose from like a Japanese castle, a medieval castle, or you can become just a technological kingdom.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that they would mix it like that.
Yeah. It starts with that. So, how you collect units for your army, because like the title says, it's a battle game.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that it would come across with the Mishu Street Boss, correct?
Right.
Not exactly. It's still with the Mishu Street Pass, but it's about their Mii population in their plaza.
So, like, if I have more Mii's in my plaza, I'll bring over more guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I have, like, a lot in there, so I'll be really good for someone to street pass me.
Mm-hmm. So, if somebody has, like, 1,000 people in their plaza, it will add 1,000 troops to your list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although, if the if you think that the... let me do that sentence again. However, if they have a significant amount of people in their plaza, or have played the game, that's also a possibility. It's pretty much more if you have the game, then... you can challenge them to a battle and get like the complete set of their troops. So if they play the game and have, for example, like 5,000 troops in their army already, and you beat them at an initial game, then you get all of their troops added to your one as a bonus.
Okay.
Well, you can decline it though and get a little amount of soldiers for it, but it's not as much as sweet as the reward you would get if you actually go on those battles.
Right. Now, does it inform them, like, if you street pass them again, does it tell them that you beat them or anything, or have you seen anything like that?
I believe it isn't shown.
It's not?
No, I don't believe it is. I could be wrong, though. But what are the battles? Because we're talking about battles,
right.
But the people are wondering, asking, what the hell are these battles actually about? So... these battles are, you have to locate or section your soldiers into three separate areas.
Mm.
And those three separate areas are determined by a simple game of rock, paper, scissors. So, for example, like the easiest level, all of them will have like the rock on them, the rock motion.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like two papers and a scissor. So of course I would dump all of my units on those two and go in there with all guns blazing. At the beginning, this is very easy. Although later in the game, they will mix up all three of them. And sometimes you have to put like a big bunch of guys against something you're actually weak against. But if the force is strong enough, you could still win, but still lose like a lot of guys afterwards in the progress.
Mm-hmm.
You also lose a lot of guys if you actually lose, but that's a whole other story entirely.
Now, I mean, is there any like strategy in where you place your units? Like, are you placing them on a field or anything?
You're placing them again in sections.
So it's just Okay, so it's just those three sections, and then they just kind of go at it.
But if you make poor decisions like before the fact, it will burn you badly.
Right.
Along the way, you collect materials to build up your castle, which can grow in levels, and it can help you with regaining units and getting more extras out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple game. Mm-hmm. It's one of the, I think, of the four, it's the most simplest.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the whole like taking over regions, like the whole kingdom campaign, and you get some nice banter between the characters out of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much this. It's pretty much battle after battle, and building up your castle.
Right.
And there, I think there's like 20 countries totally to conquer, and not every single time you have street pass people, you'll be able to defeat them, because some of them have like 14,000 troops, and it will take you a while to get them all up to the level you need. Mm-hmm. So I've been mostly spending them to build up my castle.
Now, whenever you build up your castle, does it just make it larger? I mean, is there any added benefit to growing your kingdom?
Well, you get some units back, and you get some extra items to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more of a long-term reward than a short-term reward.
Right. Okay, excellent. Well, I forgot to ask about this in all of the games, but how do they use play coins in them?
Okay, so let me do this very short. Play coins in Street Pass Squad is pretty much getting units back,
mm-hmm.
or giving your ship a small upgrade.
Okay.
Street Pass guarding is again bringing people in the garden again.
Right.
Street Pass battle is paying for additional units.
Mm-hmm.
Street Pass Mansion is getting additional pieces, while you won't know which color you get, so it can also totally screw you over in the end.
Right, so kind of like in Puzzle Swap, when you pay for a piece and it just gives you a random puzzle piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'm very excited for all of these. I hope they come to America soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's kind of weird to have this trend where Europe is constantly getting stuff earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like it anymore. It's becoming weird, because I'm still talking about this freely, and Americans say, "Yeah, shut up. We still don't have it." It's like, I'm sorry, I really am.
It's definitely a deviation from the norm. I don't know what Nintendo is playing at. I don't know what game they got going on.
I don't know.
But
yeah. One thing about the exchange booth, finally, I guess, is that the selection of hats is like different every single day.
Mm-hmm.
With the and you can spend those play tickets, those exchange booth tickets, any way you please.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have all four games, it will become very easy to have like four when the next day hit.
Right,
and if you have an area where you are street boss enough, or have enough play coins to keep yourself going.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that all of that in place, it becomes a bit easy to have yourself like four tickets for the next day ready. Mm-hmm. Like I had the big opportunity where I have like a lot of red guys in my plaza, where I could, funnily enough, get like 2 tickets out of a special treasure chest from Street Boss Mansion.
Right, I'm excited. I've got, I think, 270 play coins still saved up, so I'm ready to be spinning them. Yeah, well, I've been doing, you know, 4 a day in Animal Crossing, so hopefully I'll still have some whenever these hit America.
I hope for you as well, sir. I hope for you as well, because you will need all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you guys don't have to... There's one more thing, sorry, guys, if you're still listening. Do you guys have the new Street Pass puzzles?
The Xenoblade one, and I haven't seen them in mine.
Xenoblade, New Super Luigi U.
Mm-hmm. And there's a princess one. Yeah,
it's called Heroines. Called in Europe. And there's one more.
Let's see, Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
I don't think America has those even as well.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I haven't seen them. I looked whenever I got the update, but I'm not street passing very much right now because I'm out of school. So I'll have to double check. But I don't think we've gotten them.
I think you would get the initial piece through Spot Boss.
Yeah. Well, then I haven't had them yet. No. So I don't know. Waiting on them. I'm excited for the Xenoblade one. So
I've barely any pieces left because it's still ways off of Gamescom and my post E3 event in my country. So
right.
Anyway, I think that's all of it. I don't think we have anything else to talk about. Thank you so much for your time, Justin.
No problem. It was good talking with you.
As always.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And please rate and review the show on iTunes.